Today it will be the last time I preach the homily in two parts. And just as a quick reminder, the first part is generally about why we do something at Mass. And the second part is a usual but shorter homily. In this first part, I'm going to talk about why we have a procession from the back of the church to the front to begin Mass. As with all the topics we have covered this Lent, or Advent, I'm jumping ahead of myself, the physical actions we perform in our faith convey a message which would take much longer to say with words. Case in point, the procession takes about a minute, lots of explanation, and it's not even a full one, takes 3 to 4 minutes. Now, a procession always has a destination. You process to something. In our case, we process to the altar, which represents Christ. So at its foundation, it is a procession toward God. Now, while it is technically only the ministers who process down the aisle, they represent the larger assembly. One of the reasons we all face the same direction in the pews is to reflect this. We are all moving in the same direction, moving toward God. And this unified movement toward God is very important, for it is a reflection on how all of us outside of Mass should be living our life toward God. We are growing in holiness together, not as individuals. And the more unified we are in this act we are, the smoother and easier the road, the procession, will be. If you have ever been to a Packer game or any stadium environment, you probably have experienced the same frustration I have when encountering someone who is walking against the flow of traffic. It causes a ripple of chaos, especially if like, you're holding a beer or something. Not me, obviously, but the same holds true when someone stops suddenly or is just standing there. It causes great disruption. So it is on our spiritual procession toward God. The more we grow in holiness, the less we move away from God or stop because of sin, the quicker and easier it is not only for ourselves to reach Him, but others as well. It's one of the strange and beautiful aspects of our faith. When we grow in holiness, the people it benefits the most are those around us. We make it easier for them to move toward God. So the procession before Mass represents the procession of all of our lives, our procession towards holiness and our procession toward God. It's a beautiful way to kind of begin Mass, just representing that movement toward God. All right, part one is over, part two. The encounter between Mary and Elizabeth is another one of those scenes in the Bible I think many of us would just love to be present for. And I think that's kind of true for any scene with Mary. Her very presence just draws us in. But this scene in particular has an electrified energy to it. It's also one that I myself cannot fully appreciate, but some of you women will be able to. Because here is Elizabeth, who is a woman beyond the age of childbearing. And here is Mary, who is a virgin. Both, by all outward appearances, should be barren. This very encounter should not even be happening. And yet, here they are, brimming with life and both with child. Just trying to imagine the flood of emotions they experience upon seeing each other, the connection that they have. We can hear some of them in the gospel. Mary's haste to see Elizabeth. We can relate in some way to Mary's enthusiasm. She has just received life-changing news. She must tell someone. Elizabeth exclaiming, "How does this happen to me?" The awe of God's goodness. As these two women who should not be with child experience them leaping in their womb. The joy is emanating as Mary and Elizabeth are fully aware that they are walking miracles. They are filled with wonder. Just another example of how God loves to bring forth life where none can be found. He made the Hebrew slaves his chosen people. He made water spring forth for them in the desert. He made David defeat Goliath. He made Mary and Elizabeth with child. He made a stable the place of birth for the king. He made the cross the road to resurrection. He makes lifeless bread into his very body and blood. God loves to bring life where we are convinced none can be found. Where will he bring forth life for you? Where will God work a miracle for you? It doesn't have to be grand or extraordinary. In one sense, the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth is quite ordinary, two pregnant women meeting. But there is life where none should be found. That's the miracle. The tough part, I suppose, is believing we're actually worth receiving a miracle. Mary and Elizabeth certainly thought so. And so in this last week of Advent, let us look for the life God is giving us where none could be found, because we may be surprised by how many we see. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled.